This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. It's good to see you again, Ben.
Good to see you, young man.
Thanks. Today we're talking about your article titled Huberman's Miracle that appears in the Chicago Reader on July 8th, 2010, talking about Chicago Public Schools head Ron Huberman's public relations, what would you call it?
Gambit? Machinations? Maneuver?
To head off parent and citizen protest about desired Chicago Public Schools cuts in teachers' salaries and desired increase in class sizes as cost-cutting measures. And the article talks about how Huberman enlisted the aid of an ostensible citizens group, the United Neighborhoods Organization, to help portray the Chicago Public Schools efforts as ones of austerity. Fair assessment?
Yes, sir.
A couple of details before we get into sort of the big picture here. One of the things you mentioned is that the administration, the school's administration, claims that they've cut central office staff, but you found out that they recently posted three positions in something called the Office of Academic Enhancement, each of which pays up to $136,000 a year. And I went online. I want to know, what is this Office of Academic Enhancement? And it says it used to focus primarily on compliance with the consent decree around integration of the schools, but now they have responsibilities around providing information, answering questions around applications and selections for magnet schools, and counseling parents around those programs, and then making presentations mm-hmm. around those programs, because people obviously don't know about magnet schools,
yeah.
and conducting a lottery for the magnet schools. Apparently, they're responsible for generally overseeing of that and other things like the off-campus gifted program. So just to play devil's advocate, given that those are areas of increasing focus for Chicago Public Schools, couldn't you make an argument that, yeah, maybe it does need some staffing?
Absolutely. You can make an argument that every single salary and every single job at the central office is justified. That's not the point. The point is, you should not be asking teachers and students to make sacrifices at a time when you're spending more money in the central office. So I would just simply pointing out that the Board of Education, the central office, Ron Huberman, have not cut their spending to the bone. In fact, they're continuing to spend more money while asking far more essential services to take the cut. And that is the important point. It's not that this office, whatever it does,
it's not important. It's not, important. Not as essential.
It's not as essential as classroom. And so I would think that in a moment of crises, when classroom money is being sacrificed, we should make a sacrifice, let's say, in the Office of Academic Enhancement. And so then when times are flusher, then we can come back and fully fund this incredibly important entity.
And do more presentations on magnet schools.
Right, and do more, yet more presentations. Because people don't know about magnet schools. It's only like 2 billion people apply every year to get into the magnet schools. We're told that on one hand, the waiting list is enormous. And on the other hand, we need 3 more people to help people know about the magnet school.
Point taken. Another detail that you mentioned here is that this organization, which we'll call United Neighborhoods Organization.
Yeah.
You say on the one hand that they are a contractor to the city. They run 9 charter schools
yes.
for the city. But you also say that Mayor Daley chaired UNO's $50 million capital campaign to raise more money to build charter schools.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a city official helping fundraise for a contractor, and the fundraising may help them get more business.
Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it?
So aren't you aware of rules that bar that sort of thing?
Are there rules? I don't know. There are no rules in Chicago, Dave. It's the mayor. He's free to do what he wants. I'm totally with you on this. I think it's just the sense of impropriety is enormous. I mean, they're competing with ordinary public schools, in a sense, for public dollars to educate children. At the same time, the mayor is using his name and reputation and power to help them raise money to further move money from the public schools. So it's like the mayor is using his authority to undercut the public schools at the benefit of this private school. And then they tell the public schools, oh, make do with less. So yeah, I think the whole thing stinks.
And then looking at the bigger picture, one of the things that occurred to me about this effort, the effort that you're engaged in to create awareness around the waste and arguably nepotism within the Chicago Public Schools Administration, it has a pretty well-defined constituency in that, you know, there are parents and teachers who I think it's pretty obvious your reporting on this is resonating with. I've heard plenty of reaction from my teacher friends, and I'm sure you've seen plenty of it. And it occurs to me that your reporting around tax increment financing doesn't have the same sort of natural constituency. Sure, everybody who pays property taxes is somebody that should be paying attention to that, but they don't feel as personally affected by it as this stuff about schools. So I'm just wondering if you'd reflect on that for a moment, maybe that this reporting has more potential to have an impact because of, you know, the ability to rile up that constituency.
You're getting at something really important. I've had so many conversations over the years about this, about TIFs, including some really great sort of rambling conversations with aldermen like Bernie Stone, I think of Bernie, who is a big supporter of the mayor's TIF program. And Bernie Stone, a veteran politician, has explained to me so many times that, Ben, if it's not something tangible that government's doing to people, something that affects them in their day-to-day existence, they really aren't paying attention. So the notion that the city has set up this scam in which hundreds of millions of dollars gets diverted into the mayor's slush fund from schools really doesn't matter much to people because they don't see it every day.
And you're talking about tax increment financing.
Tax increment financing. If, however, at a moment of crisis, the Board of Education and Ron Huberman tell parents that their favorite kindergarten teacher will be fired and their children, as a result, will be put in jeopardy, or be forced into a class with more children, or they won't have access to this great teacher that the parents love, the parents will be riled up. It's something very tangible and real. So for so many years, I've been reporting about TIFs and talking almost like in the abstract. I mean, I try as best I can to use examples of how they go to this developer who doesn't need it or that contractor who doesn't need it. I mean, we've had discussions like this endlessly. They drive up our taxes. They're hidden from us. But it is only now when the city is cutting other programs that people want every day that folks are paying attention. And they're saying, oh my God, this is an outrage. And so your point's very well taken. I learned this through all these years of writing about Chicago. During good times, you can do virtually whatever you want with the public dollars, so long as you provide the bare minimum of services to people. In this case, a nice kindergarten teacher where their children go to school. But if you start cutting that bare minimum of services, then people will get angry and they'll begin to pay attention to what you're doing to the rest of the pie. And that's the situation that Mayor Daley's finding now. The public is slowly beginning to pay attention to this TIF issue that you and I have been talking about forever because these basic services are threatened. So I say, welcome. About time.
Well, it's incumbent upon us to continue to find ways to connect those dots,
yes.
I think.
Yes, it's connecting dots, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, on that note, I'll thank you, Ben Jurowski, the Chicago Reader, for joining me today.
You're the man. Thank you.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.